We start this week a five-week series on our core values. So you probably have already noticed throughout our liturgy and our worship that we are being intentional about the words of welcome and hospitality. And so today we start with radical hospitality, but we'll journey together through lifelong faith formation, passionate worship, extravagant generosity, and bold service. Each week taking a moment to focus and talk about where and how those values came to us, looking at the scripture, and then how it is that we as a community seek to live them out. This morning we have the privilege of having Sam Isley with us in Shalom to talk to us about those five core values. So if you're around and you want to hear more, I invite you to participate with us there. So, if you've got your Bible, a couple of things. A lawyer came to Jesus. He said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, like a great rabbi, doesn't answer. Instead, he asks a question. In fact, in the world of the Gospels, you can count all of the direct answers Jesus gives on a single hand. He always asks a question. And so he asked him this question, "Well, what do the scriptures say?" A man, being a lawyer, a good student, says, Deuteronomy 6:5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And Leviticus 19:18, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. And then, as another good rabbi, a guy by the name of Hillel, said, "The rest is all commentary." The rest is all commentary. Love God, love your neighbor. Yeah, exactly. Then, this question, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells a story, but the story is not about this question, is it? Because at the end of it, Jesus comes back with a different question. Who was a neighbor? What does it mean to be a neighbor? That's what Jesus was interested in. Throughout the Gospel of Luke and throughout all of the teachings of Jesus, it's clear that Jesus is pushing at the edges where we want to draw lines, where we want to mark boundaries or say who is in or who is out. Mary's song at the beginning says, "God is coming to turn the world right side up. The poor and the oppressed, the vulnerable, the widows, those who are lost. God is here for them." In Acts, Luke part 2, the book of Acts, "You will be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, finally to Samaria." Samaria? We hate those guys, this guy. "And finally, to the ends of the earth." Where you think you might be, where the welcome might be limited to, go bigger, go broader. Because that is where God is. Everywhere. So the question then today for us is, what does it mean to be a neighbor? That's what we think about when we talk about radical hospitality. So I want to make three stops in our text and talk about how we live that out here as Spirit of Joy. Practice and try to live that out. We know we are imperfect and we fail. It starts with, very early in that storytelling, the Samaritan, the very first thing is, he saw him. Now, it's not that he, right, laid physical eyes on him, because the priest and the Levite did as well. It's the fact that he was moved with pity. You see, what he saw was a man who had been beaten and was desperate, who needed care. What he saw was where he could be, right? There, but by the grace of God, go I. And so he knew that on this dangerous road, if he were beaten and left for dead, he would want somebody to pick him up. And so he goes over, not concerned with how fast the timeline he's on or keeping himself clean. Instead, he's concerned with the person. So it starts there. At Spirit of Joy, we say, all people matter to God. So all people matter to us. It is part of our confession and our welcome of new partners to be explicit in a broad welcome, including all sorts of folks in those language, and it has been forever. This last year, we talked about modifying them, and we realized, no, those were the words that were used in 2002 and 2003. That is who we are as a community of broad welcome and radical inclusion. So, as we are here, what that means then is making connections to the people around us. In the world of churchy stuff, little hint to all of you. A person makes a decision about whether they'll even entertain coming back to a church in the first 7 minutes from the time that they close their car door in the parking lot. It's not whether or not they'll become partners. It's not whether or not they truly like a place. It's whether they're open to the community. In those 7 minutes, do they hear a sermon? No. Do they sing a song? Probably not. What they do is meet you. What they do is see that, oh, that person cared enough about me to put a name tag on so that I might be comfortable addressing them and feel included. What they do is sit down next to somebody. And whether that person turns and says good morning to them, welcome, I'm Eric, matters. Because the reality is, those are the things that create community. You all do that. So from invitation of friends and family, of people in our community, etc., through the door, guess how a congregation and a community practices welcome? Yes, we hope it's modeled by us. Yes, we hope we live into it. But it's you. It's you making the intentional effort to be hospitable, to practice radical hospitality. The next phrase, Samaritan, in verse 14, went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on them. So it's one thing to see somebody, to welcome them in, to say, hi, what's my name? It is another thing to connect with them, to make yourself vulnerable to them, to include them. See, this Samaritan on this road was in a dangerous place. This road is steep and windy. There are big rock formations that hide people. And you and I know, unfortunately anymore, we don't stop alongside the road when somebody has a flat tire, right? Because of the dangers involved. That's not new. That's not new. The practical wisdom of the priest and the Levite was, don't stay here because we don't know who might jump out and get us. Somebody got him. Maybe they're still around. Or is this person bait? And so when he stopped, when he bandaged those wounds, when he poured the oil on him, what that Samaritan did was kneel down in a place where somebody had already been harmed and open himself up to whatever might come. That is hospitality. That is God's welcome. But he didn't stop there. You see, he put him on his own animal. He included him in his journey, and he took him to that inn. We, as people of God, are vulnerable when we welcome new people into our community. If we do so, we are always impacted by them, right? The gifts and the talents they bring, who they are, continue to shape and mold. You, as Spirit of Joy, think of how different some of you who have been around this morning is than 2 years ago. And 5 years ago, we weren't in this space. And 10 years ago, and for some of you, 20. That difference has happened, lots of it, blessed and wonderful, because of all of the people you have welcomed, the way that they have shaped the community, and the way that you have included them. But it is vulnerable to say your gifts are gifts that we need as a community, and we want you, as you are called by God, to help us to continue to grow into the future, to live into the hope that God has for us. That is hospitality. And then this little piece. The next day, he took out 2 denarii gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And this one, not if, when I come back. See, hospitality on a surface is really nice. This is a thing that lots of places, lots of community, lots of people do really, really well. I've got your name, we've said hi, hey, smile and wave, right? But radical hospitality demands that we go deeper, that we are persistent in our relationships, that we pursue one another and a chance to connect so that we might grow in community and in love. It means, then, that we too are blessed by this relationship. It encourages us to say, hey, as I am here and I know that I'm going to care for you, I am willing to be in this together, to share this moment, because I believe that that's what God has intended for us, and I am open to you loving me in all of my brokenness and all of my flaws, just as I have sought to love you. So, a story. 2 years ago, this week, a new person walked into Spirit of Joy for the very first time. She sat right where Kevin is sitting, right inside the door. And most everybody noticed. Afterward, she stuck around and greeted people, introduced herself to Pastor Jeff and to me, met a number of you. She came back. After a few weeks, I finally convinced her that I really meant it when I said, I'd love to buy you lunch. She worked at Camille's there on 41st and said, well, I really cherish that community. They've been my family. So let's go there. It's a place I'm comfortable, and it's in between my home and here. We did. And as we were there, she wondered, would Spirit of Joy be a community that would genuinely welcome her? See, she lived in a different part of town than most of us, though that's becoming less true all the time about Spirit of Joy. But that different part of town meant that for her to commit to be here, it was going to be a financial stretch because she was impoverished, and driving here, paying the money to buy the gas to get here was a commitment for her. And as we left and as we went through that conversation, I found myself wondering, would Spirit of Joy welcome her? Would we welcome the hand-knit rainbow stocking cap and the suspenders, the walking stick, and the blind, wandering eye? Would we as a community look at this person who looked so very different than most of us and be willing to truly include her? The next week, Pastor Charles welcomed her to lunch. A week after that, it was another one. Soon, she jumped into a small group and a Bible study. Before long, she was at the Stampede game and then the Canaries game, bundled up in the big coat, happily visiting with everybody on that frigid May day. Danny became part of Spirit of Joy, and I know for many of us, part of our hearts and part of our community. A year ago, next month, she died. She died in a tragic accident on an on-ramp on I-29, not able to see the cars at a dead stop in front, plowing into them at 50 miles an hour. The only casualty in that accident, thank God, because I know for Danny, had anyone else been hurt or killed, that would have been the devastation there. But Spirit of Joy, that's not where our story with Danny stopped. You see, Danny's family struggled with Danny, with Danny's sexual identity and expression. They wondered if Danny could indeed be a beloved child of God and if any church could honestly proclaim the gospel to someone like that. And you, Spirit of Joy, did. Danny had no dollars, less than no dollars, in fact. Danny's family has very few dollars. And so, Spirit of Joy, you took care of the bill. You made sure that Danny was treated with all of the dignity and respect that were due to her. You paid for the meal, and then you showed up. This beautiful, eclectic service. For those of you that were there, do you remember? Danny's family struggling and wrestling with what it meant to be here. The community that Danny had built throughout Sioux Falls, many of them uncertain if they really could be welcome in a church. And then 30 and 40 of you sitting here for a beloved saint of God. And he didn't stop there. See, Danny was a partner at Spirit of Joy at that point. And so the next week, as we carried out our candles into the Memorial Garden for our All Saints Litany, there was no family here for Danny. They couldn't afford to come back. You carried that candle for her. You walked out there and placed that stone. And Danny now rests in the prayer garden with all of the saints of Spirit of Joy, part of our community forever. Forever. That is how you are a neighbor. That is how you practice radical hospitality. That Spirit of Joy is who we are. Amen.